Carmela, as we record this, there's still some summer left.
Yay!
And what's better in summer than a little white wine?
Well, I can't think of anything much better, except for maybe sipping on some white wine in the summer in Italy.
Well, guess what? Today we're on another Italian wine adventure, and we're going to be learning about and tasting a wonderful Italian white wine called Orvieto.
Oh, I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of a reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime who has laryngitis, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Yay!
She really does have laryngitis.
I'm getting over it, actually, but it's not great.
It's kind of your sexy smoker voice.
Oh, wow. Right. What's wrong with the sexy smoker voice?
I didn't say there's anything wrong.
Okay.
I said it is.
Okay.
That's what it is. It is what it is. All right, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and taste and give our brutally honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rolling my eyes today. Meaning under $20 each and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine, maybe find some new wines to enjoy, and just want someone to talk about wine in a way that normal people can understand.
Whoa.
All right, so if that sounds like you, you're in the right place.
All right.
And we are...
You found us.
Well, you found us. And we are proud to say that we have been featured recently in the Mercury News, and we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent...
Chatty, except for when you have laryngitis.
And entertaining. Okay, so Carmela, I do want to call out an email we got from a listener named Donna,
mm-hmm.
who, after hearing the latest Costco Kirkland Signature Wine Challenge episode that we did on Pinot Grigio, she asked us if we ever were going to do a review on Aldi wines.
Ah.
And so I wrote her back and I let her know that, you know, there aren't any Aldi wines in the old Pacific Northwest here.
Mm-hmm.
So we may just have to do a remote episode someday where there's an estate where there's an Aldi wine store. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea. Nice job.
Yeah, and Donna also let us know that she's tried a couple and liked one, but poured the other one down the sink, which I can totally understand.
You have to do that sometimes.
Yeah, and she said that she may try a few and tell us what she thinks. So we say,
go, that.
Donna.
Go, Donna.
Yay.
Good for you.
And I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll also be doing like a Trader Joe's private label wine review again. So we'll bring that back.
Fun.
Yeah. And you really do have laryngitis, don't you?
I know. I'm just trying to rest my voice. It's all about you today, honey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's always all about you. I'm teasing.
Oh, boy.
You know, you can still hear it in my voice.
Yes, we can.
Anyway.
So, Carmela, first of all, it's a little echoey because we're back in the garage.
We've got kids home.
Yeah, that just means we have kids home. And then, we, like I said in the intro, we're doing another Italian wine adventure. And again, thankfully for you, it is a white wine adventure.
Ooh.
I told you we were doing an Italian wine adventure and you said, is it going to be red?
I didn't say it that
yeah,
way.
You did.
I had laryngitis.
Yeah, that's
so I was
why
like,
you...
is it going to be red?
Okay. Well, you love white wine, don't you?
I really do, yes.
And you love Italian wine, don't you?
I do. And I love actually drinking Italian wine
well,
in Italy.
Well,
but it doesn't sound like that's in the cards.
Not today. But we'll get there again.
Okay.
Well, today I have a wine for you that I don't think either of us have ever had before. And so this is going to be a really fun adventure.
I love it.
Now, I thought what we'd do is we'd give some editorial comments about why we really love these Italian wine adventures. And yes, Carmela, I'm putting you on the spot because you didn't know. I didn't prep you for this at all.
Like you ever do?
No.
Okay.
But this time especially, I didn't prep you.
If all of a sudden I can't speak, it's because, you know, the laryngitis has come back. It's really set in again.
That's how you're going to get out of it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to start, and then you can talk about maybe why you like Italian wine adventures. So one reason why I really like the Italian wine adventures is because we're of Italian heritage.
We are.
Both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Double Italian.
Whoa.
So there's that. And so, you know, I just think that part of me feels something connected to Italian
for
wines,
sure.
Right? Like
for
kind of we are the grandchildren of Italian immigrants, and it's just, it feels like going home.
Right.
And yeah, that we should be talking about Italian wines and going on Italian adventures and using wine as the fifth food group.
Right.
Using.
I love it.
I said
using wine.
I don't know if we...
Do we use wine?
I use
wow,
it.
Wow, are you a wine user?
I'm a user. Oh, boy. Okay, why do you love the Italian wine adventures?
Well, because I don't have any choice. No. Wow, I love them because, you know what, like you said, you didn't give me the script. However, I am partial to Italian wines, mm-hmm. often too. Mm-hmm. And I actually just love the fact that there are so many wines that we haven't tried
Know. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it just opens your mind and it's like, wow, there's so many, like when we get there, one day when we actually physically get there, we're going to have a lot to explore.
I know, it's been a while. It's been like 10 years since we've been there, but it's totally true. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, but there's like something like 300 wine varietals in Italy.
It's amazing.
And we're only on Italian wine adventure number 8. So we've got like 292 left to go.
I need a lot of laryngitis.
Wow. I mean, you're really using that. Okay. So another reason why I like these Italian wine adventures is kind of related to this last one is that, you know, we're both former teachers. I think people out there in listening land may know that we used to be teachers. Although at heart, I think we're always going to be teachers.
And lifelong learners. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And that's it. Like I love learning new things. Mm-hmm. I love finding new stuff out. I love finding out like where are these wines from exactly in Italy and what makes them special and all that kind of, and the history, and that's fun.
Right. And you are definitely part of the Look It Up Club.
I am so much in the Look It Up Club.
You might be king Look It Up.
I might be. I might just be. So those are some great reasons why we like these Italian wine adventures. And again, I think this is going to be a super fun Italian wine adventure because this is a new adventure for us with a new wine. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing for most of our friends out there in listening land too.
Could be.
So I am psyched out of my mind
about
this Orvieto Italian wine adventure.
Wow.
And so we've got 3 Orvieto Classico wines to try and we're going to taste them and review them and we're going to find out what we think. But first,
you got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So to start off, we want to thank you for listening to us and for supporting our show. And if you haven't had the chance to do so yet, now would be the perfect time to subscribe to the podcast. It's super easy.
Click it.
It's just, you don't even have to talk, right, Carmela? If you have laryngitis, you can still click a button.
Right. And you know what? You have your listening ears on.
That's
right. And if you have laryngitis, you can still here.
In fact, it might help you heal your laryngitis because you just have to listen.
Right. You're actually a better listener when you have laryngitis.
No, I don't think
so. You don't think so?
I don't think you're a better listener.
Okay. You think I've been a worse listener?
Same. I'd say same.
Okay.
But that is subscribing to our show is a great free way to support us. Mm. And we want to thank all of you who have already subscribed. And another great way to support us is to leave a nice rating and review on our website or an Apple Podcast or some other podcast service, because then listeners go, hey, these guys might be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also follow us and see pictures of the wines we're tasting and trying today on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. And you can also follow us on Threads, although I don't know.
How's it going?
It's like, I'm not really doing much with it, but you can still follow us.
Are you taking to it or not?
Not
is it kind
yet.
Of like a Twitter experience?
I haven't. Well, no, I mean, I just haven't gotten, you know, around to really being active on it. And I'm hearing a lot of people are not. But we'll give it some time.
Okay.
And then if you go to our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, you can contact us. And you can also sign up for our email newsletter. I don't know if you knew that, but we have an email newsletter.
We do.
And we're going to give you updates about what we're doing, food and wine pairing ideas, and all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, my. When did this happen?
About 2 months ago. Didn't even tell you.
How often does it come out?
Once a month.
Oh my
God. First day of each month, we'll give you recipes and all sorts of fun
stuff. Hey, can I get on that?
Yeah. Well, I think actually the recipes come from you. Okay. As we do every week, we're going to tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week we have a scenario for you.
Okay.
So assuming again that because it's summer as we record this, and summer as you're probably listening to this, we are also assuming that maybe you'll have a meal or a drink outside, also known as al fresco in Italian.
True.
Right? Ooh. So when you have that meal or drink or whatever it is outside, we want you to turn to whoever you're with or whoever you're next to.
Turn to your left.
Or right.
Okay.
Or both.
Okay.
And you say to them, hey, there's this amazing podcast called the Wine Pair Podcast.
Okay. So no matter what, there's no like buzzword. There's no like any reason.
Alfresco.
Like, oh, this
you're
person likes
you're just outside.
This.
It's a nice day and you're enjoying yourself. You're feeling good. You're getting the vibes of the sun.
What if you are sit next to like several different people? Like
you have to tell them
musical
all.
Chairing it.
Why not just tell them all?
Okay.
What would be wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm just curious. So there's not a maximum. You just tell whoever you're sitting next to, even if it changes.
I like that you always try to find out if there's like special rules. Like there's no rules to
I'm
this.
A rule follower.
You are a rule follower.
Most of the time.
Yeah, except when it comes to laryngitis. Okay. So Carmela, let's talk about what the F Orvieto wine is. What do you say? Because I think most people are like, what the F is orvieto? Okay, what
pasta? Isn't there a pasta that's an orvieto?
Orchietto?
Orchietto, that's the ear. Yeah. Does it have anything to do with ears?
It doesn't. Okay. It doesn't. Okay, let's set the stage, Carmela, for this adventure. Put on your listening ears, okay? Orvieto is the name of a region in Italy. So like a lot of Italian wines and French wines, we've talked about this before, it's named for the region, it's not named for the grape. There is no grape called Orvieto, all right? Can we just get that straight?
Yes.
Okay. And in Orvieto, there are two classic grapes that are used, although there's more than two, but the two classic grapes that are used are Grechetto and Trebbiano Toscano. Those are the two grapes. Now, those may be totally new grapes to most people, too.
Where is this region?
We're going to talk about that. It's in Umbria, but we'll talk about that in a second. But Orvieto, first, Orvieto is a blend, and we'll talk a little bit more about those two grapes, but let's talk about the region. So Orvieto is a DOC wine region. It's in central Italy, and as I said, it's in Umbria. And in Umbria, there are two provinces. There's the province of Perugia and the province of Terino. And you've probably heard of like Perugina chocolates, right?
Right.
Those come from Perugia.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And now, interestingly, I didn't know this, but I'm part of the Look It Up Club. Mm-hmm. And so now I know it. Umbria is the only landlocked region in Italy.
Oh my God. So the whole region, there's no water.
No. Well, there's no, it's not by the sea.
Exactly. It's not by the.
It's the only one in Italy. Fun fact.
That is interesting. Remember that one. Could come up on trivia.
It could be, it could win you money.
Right.
Or beer or wine. Okay. Orvieto is also a city and it's a really old city. Mm. It's known to be populated as far back as 900 BC by the Etruscans. And so it's been around for a long time. And interestingly enough, I didn't know this, another part of the Look It Up Club, it's one of only three cities that has a papal palace.
Wow.
So there you go.
My goodness.
And it's funny because you don't
great
really.
Place to visit.
I know, you don't really hear about it, I don't think a lot, but it sounds beautiful. And evidently it's a foodie town. It's really famous for truffle pasta.
I was just going to ask, what is it known for?
Yeah, and Orvieto wine.
Okay.
And I guess on a map, if you were to look on a map, Orvieto
is... mushrooms. Oh, sorry.
Yes, truffles, mushrooms, not chocolate. Not truffle chocolate pasta.
I mean, I figured
that. Truffle those really expensive mushrooms that I don't like. I actually don't like them.
Oh.
No, I don't.
It's true.
I don't. Some people like them, some people don't. I think they taste soapy and gross. I don't
soapy?
Like them. Yeah, they're weird. Okay. To me, they're weird, but it's fine. But anyway, on a map, Orvieto is about halfway between Rome and Siena.
Mm.
Siena's in Tuscany. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's interesting. You can kind of picture. I can kind of picture the area that it's in. Let's go back to the grapes. How about that?
Let's.
So there are two main grapes, again, used in Orvieto, the Grechetto and the Trebbiano Toscano grape, which has a few other names, that Trebbiano Toscano, that sneaky grape. It's also sometimes called Procanico, and sometimes it's called Ugni Blanc, and we actually talked about that. There are many variations of Trebbiano, and it's used in a wine called Suave, and we really love Suave.
Mm-hmm, we do.
So that's a pretty common Italian wine, although in different regions, it's going to taste a little bit different.
Hmm.
Now, to be called an Orvieto white wine, the wine must obviously be from the Orvieto DOC, and it has to be at least 60% Trebbiano Toscano and Grechetto. So between the two of them, it has to be 60% of that, and no more than 40% of some other grapes. And that 40% can be made of Verdello, Caniolo Bianco, and Malvasia Toscana. And that final blend can also have a maximum of 15 to 25% Verdello.
Wow. A lot of rules, right? What if you break those? Like, how do you really determine?
They do check. I mean, they do check. And being part of the DOC is you do have to have that.
Now, is this typically on? I know it doesn't usually do this. Is it on the bottles?
No.
Do we know with these?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't.
Okay.
Although, you know, you asked an interesting question because I think Orvieto has gotten a little bit looser in its rules. And some winemakers are kind of like challenging those blends.
Mm.
And so I think some modern winemakers are kind of challenging that blend. Okay. So anyway, there are two classifications for Orvieto wines, which is very common. The Classico, which is what we're having today. And that comes from, again, they call it Classico because it's considered the most traditional region of wherever that wine is from. And then Classico Superiore, and usually Superiore just means that it's
better,
bettered, but it's cellared a little bit longer and maybe it's made from more choice grapes.
Ah. Okay.
And now, I guess in the past, Orvieto used to be a sweet wine that the popes really liked. The popes really liked sweet wines. It's got a papal palace there. They went there. They're like, let's get some more of that wine. Maybe we'll hang out there.
Mm.
But today, the wine is just what we like. Dry, acidic, crisp, clean.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And they do make some red wines in Orvieto, but about 80% of the wines in Orvieto are white.
Okay.
So that's why we got to visit.
You know what's interesting about that?
Tell me more.
It's landlocked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not a big fish eating spot.
True, but maybe they have a lot of chicken and truffles.
I mean, you said that for sure. So, but you know, a lot of times you drink white wine with fish.
Yeah. No, it is interesting because the cuisine and the wine usually follow, but I think it's probably just that's tradition that's the kinds of grapes that grew there.
Thousands of years.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Exactly. Hmm. Now, one of the reasons that we in the good old US of A aren't super familiar with Orvieto is that they just actually don't make a ton of it. Mm. So we're used to Pinot Grigio, which they make tons of.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, evidently, Orvieto was kind of a little bit of a hit in the United States in the 1970s. But like a lot of Italian wines, so we've heard this story a lot. In the 60s and 70s, there were a bunch of Italian wines that were kind of hitting the market,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't that great. And so they got a bad reputation. And so Orvieto was another one of those that kind of suffered from that.
So is it having a comeback right now?
It's having a bit of a comeback.
Oh,
but
nice.
I don't think it's having much of a comeback yet in America. And so single-handedly.
Oh, wait, so it's having a comeback in Italy.
I think it's always been big in Italy, but I think in other areas it's gotten a much better reputation. But Carmela, we are single-handedly going to bring Orvieto back into style in America.
Whoa!
That's our job. Okay. That's what we're going to do. What do you think?
Are you up to the task is the major question.
I hope so.
Okay.
Is your voice going to hold out long enough for us to make it?
I don't know. If it starts dropping off, then
we're out. Yeah. We're going to be dead.
Then
you got to do
come
it.
Come at us. Yeah. Then come at us
take a cough drop. Take a cough drop. No, don't, because it'll ruin your tasting.
Do you love those Ludens or the Luddens?
The Luddens.
Are they Ludens or Luddens?
It's definitely Luden.
Okay.
They're not even medicine. They're not really medicine, are they?
No.
They're candy.
They're so good.
But they're so good.
But they don't do a darn thing. But
they're not like those Ricola. When you have the Ricola, you know you're having medicine.
No, but you're having, menthol come out your nose and ears and any hole in your body, really.
Wow, it just got dirty. No, the Ludens, they're just candy.
They're so good. Okay.
Okay, can we get back to let's talk about the Orvieto wines that we chose for this episode. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so as usual, all of the wines we have chosen for this episode are under $20, and all of them should be at least relatively easy to find because I bought them all at Total Wine.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. I wondered how easily available it is.
Well, if you go to Total Wine, you should be able to find them.
Awesome.
And then one of the wines we're having is from a producer called Rufino. Rufino makes a ton of wines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you go someplace outside of a big wine store or you need to find a place that maybe caters to Italians or Italian wines, because I don't think you're going to find a lot of Orvieto in a standard grocery store
okay.
something. I think you have to look for it a little bit, but you can also find it on wine.com and a lot of online places you can find it.
Okay.
So the first wine we're going to try tonight is called Rufino Orvieto Classico.
Nice.
And again, as I mentioned, Rufino, pretty well known. They're located in Tuscany. So obviously they work with vineyards in the Orvieto region to create this wine. And Rufino, if you're like, I think I've heard of that, they make a lot of Chianti.
Ah.
That's kind of what they're most famous for.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the Rufino, I'm bumping things around. On the Rufino website, they talk a lot about the soil, which is called tufa. And tufa is chalky limestone. And that comes from volcanic activity. There's a lot of volcanoes in Italy. And that's, again, pretty common on the Italian peninsula. And because of that limestony kind of soil, sometimes that taste of stone or chalk may come out in the wine. And we taste that sometimes.
Huh, yeah.
And I think especially in a white wine where it's not oaked and, it's just very crisp and natural, sometimes you get a little bit more of that flavor out of it.
You do, yeah.
So we'll see if that comes up when we taste it.
Okay.
Now you asked this earlier, they are pretty clear about what the blend of the wine is. Mm. They say it's 40% Grechetto, 20% Procanica, which is the other name for Trebbiano Toscano, and then 40% of other white wine varietals, Bardello and Canaiolo Bianco. So okay. This one is interesting because it's like more Grechetto than it is Trebbiano, mm-hmm. Trebbiano Toscano. Mm. And again, as I said, there's some newer producers who are kind of moving maybe more down that path and doing things a little bit different. Mm. And by the way, sometimes Grechetto is compared with like an unoaked Chardonnay.
Okay.
So a little fruity.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with an unoaked Chardonnay, it's real nice and fruity.
Okay.
You can get away from the oak and get away from that butter.
And enjoy a Chardonnay that
That's
way.
Right. That's mm. right. That okay. way. Chardonnay that way all day. Okay, the next wine we're going to drink is the Bellini Orvieto Classico, and this one is a 2022. And Bellini is also another large producer from Tuscany, and again, mostly known for their Chiantis. Now, I did find the Bellini website, and on the page for the wine, they call out the grapes as follows. Trebbiano, 50%, Malvasia Toscana, 10%, mm. Verdello, 20%, and Grechetto, 20%. And then they say that the grapes are harvested by hand and they age them for 3 months in stainless steel. So I expect all of these to be like stainless steel, you know, based, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of where they fermented and stored before they were bottled. And 3 months is not a long time.
No.
Like 3 months on stainless steel is not a long time. So I expect them to be really acidic, really crisp and lively kind of wines.
Okay.
I couldn't find, actually one thing, Carmela, I couldn't find any professional ratings for any of these wines. Oh. So I guess it's up to us to give them ratings.
Whoa, we're the first.
Yeah. And then our last, we're going to be number one.
Wow.
And then our last wine is called the Roio. It's R-O-I-O, Roio Orvieto Classico. And honestly, I had a really hard time finding out much about this wine. This is a Total Wine, winery direct wine. And those wines kind of drive me crazy because I think what Total Wine does is they go to some wineries and they say, just give us a crap ton of your wine and we'll sell it and don't sell it anywhere else and whatever. And they sell it. You know, and so
they make a deal.
They make a deal. And so I think outside of Total Wine, this wine will probably not be super easy to find. And again, I couldn't even find a website for it or an Instagram handle or anything
Weird.
Like that. So I wouldn't say this is going to be a super easy to find wine, this particular brand.
Okay.
So unless you go to Total Wine. And again, there isn't a lot I can tell you about the wine other than it's a 2021. And it does say the blend of grapes, but not the percentage. So it says Trebbiano, Malvasia, Verdello, and Grechetto. But there you have it, Carmela.
Awesome.
We have three Orvieto Classicos from three different producers. And so we'll have some fun, I think, trying these wines, going on this adventure and seeing what we think of Orvieto. Because again, do you remember having it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And then we're going to see if we're going to be able to recommend any of them.
I know. I can't wait. Okay. Could we have another go-to white wine on our hands?
I know. Like Suave and Gavi and all these go-to white wines. And
I can't
so we're
wait.
We're gonna find out very soon. Mm-hmm. So give us a chance to take a little quick break. We'll be right back to try our first wine.
Woo.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. This is the Rufino Orvieto Classico. It's from Umbria, Italy. They all will be. Mm-hmm. This is a 2021. This is only $10.99 at Total Wine. It's 12.5% alcohol. And as I mentioned, it's 40% Grechetto, 20% Procanico, and 40% of other varietals, Verdello and Caniolo Bianco. Mm-hmm. And Carmela, what are you smelling? Well, first, actually, you noticed that it's very light
colored. It is very light. Pretty. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm getting a few different things. Like, I'm definitely getting kind of a like rock or pebble or,
Definitely
something like that. Also, I'm getting a little bit of peach and you're getting peach and a little bit of soap.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know. Like, it smells a little clean.
It's got a little floral. I think it's got some flower scent to it. Yeah. And it's super, what's interesting is it's very delicate smelling, but there are a lot of scents because I'm getting some citrus and some like pear or something.
Okay.
Like
wow.
some sort of like apple or pear.
This is like the, you know, all worldly wine.
It does have I'm going to go back on one thing too. I think maybe it has a little bit of tropical fruit kind of smell to it.
Like pineapple?
A little bit. It's really like the scent is not, there's a lot of scent, but it's just not a lot of scent, if you know what I'm getting at.
It's not making any sense.
Her headphones fell off and she has laryngitis. It's a terrible day.
It's one of those days.
Let's,
I don't know.
Let's taste it.
Let's get drunk.
I am tasting that soapy kind of taste. I'm getting that.
It's nice though. It's mild. Like the flavor is mild. It's a little bit, it's not, what's the alcohol?
12.5.
Yeah.
Which is actually decent for a white wine.
I was going to say, it's pretty, it doesn't taste alcoholy at all though. Like it's almost a little juice like.
I'm getting a lot of that. Now that you say that flour, soap, potpourri, I'm getting a lot of that kind of flavor on it. and not as much of the tropical fruit. Maybe a little peach too, or apricot. Maybe a little apricot or something.
I'm also not getting as much rock on it or pebble. You know, it's a little more soft. It's a little softer than that.
Mm-hmm. It has kind of an interesting mouthfeel. I almost feel like it's got, it's not super crisp as I would expect. Yeah. And it's almost got a little bit like a medium mouthfeel. It's almost got a little bit more mouthfeel to it than I would have expected.
Yeah, like a little more complex too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some body to it, you know?
It does. And it's not, it's a little, the flavors.
You know?
Yeah, I'm like, so. You're just convincing me, right?
I'm trying to convince myself. Yeah. I know, right?
No, but I know. IKR. Have you heard that before? IKR.
I taught that to you.
You didn't.
I made that up. But what were you going to say? You just totally lost your train of thought.
I did. I'm just thinking now. Yeah, it's really, first of all, it's one of those easy drinking wines.
Mm-hmm.
It's very summer, but like it's not as acidic.
It's not.
As we typically
drink.
It's
not as crispy or acidic.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's got a little bit more, almost feels like unctuousness, like this like mouthfeel, like a little bit of richness on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has a little bit of apple, like apple pie or kind of that apple pie filling. You know those cheap Hostess apple pies? And they had that apple pie filling that's mostly sugar. It tastes like that to me. Like super sugary.
It's sweet.
It's very sweet.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's 12.5% alcohol, so it's not a sweet wine.
No.
Per se.
Right.
You know, it's a dry white wine.
It's nice. I like it.
What food would you pair with this, my love?
Well, I for some reason, maybe I have the old truffle
Ludens,
pasta.
Ludens?
Ooh, a nice pack of Ludens. I don't know what flavor.
Truffle pasta though, huh?
Well, like I was saying, thinking some sort of pasta dish, kind of a light cream, like a very light cream or even like an olive oil based pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what would be really good?
Hmm.
Is some sort of like smoked salmon and peas.
I'm kind of feeling like this is more of a fish wine. I'm not so much of a fish guy.
No,
and I think it's really a fish wine. I'm not even sure it's a chicken wine. And I'm not really even sure it's like a pasta primavera wine.
No.
I don't feel like it's a fish wine.
I kind of feel like it is too.
Yeah.
And that's why I could kind of see like
scallops.
Be delicious. What about light cream butter sauce?
What about like lobster?
Sure.
Like lobster with a butter sauce?
Absolutely.
So maybe really even good. Like a little bit richer, like we're saying, like a buttery sauce.
I guess I'm going back to the truffle thing. I'm trying to kind of imagine it with a truffle oil or truffle sauce. And that would be really nice, I think, with fish.
Yeah, I like it. I like where you're going.
Okay.
Okay, so let's give this a rating. And as a reminder, on a rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, and 7 or above means that we're going to buy it. And 4 below means we're going to probably pour it down the sink. And a 5 or a 6 means, hey, we'll drink it. It's okay, but we're probably not going to buy it unless maybe it's for some sort of occasion or person. So what rating would you give this wine?
So you know what? I'm going to, I know we have the right to change and go back. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. I'm actually on the verge of giving it a 5, but I think I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give it a 6.
You're not convinced.
This is not a wine I would buy. This for me is not, it's a little too buttery and it's a little bit, it's just, to me,
it's just not your style.
It's not that crispy white wine
that we normally would drink. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm
that's fair enough.
I'm at 6 right now. We'll see if I go down or if I change my mind.
Okay.
So we're going to take a break and we're going to try our next wine.
Okay,
we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is the Bellini Orvieto Classico, also from Umbria, Italy, as they all will be. This is a 2022. It was $12.99 a total wine, 12.5% alcohol, the same one, same amount. And this is 50% Trebbiano, 10% Malvasia Toscana, 20% Verdello, and 20% Grechetto. And so Carmela. By the way, this one is a cork. The first one had the Rufino had a screw cap. Woo. And this is a very light wine again. So what are you smelling?
Okay, so I'm getting a little more sweetness, like apple cider-ish on this one.
Yeah, sure.
You know, more apple than the first one.
For sure. And a little more citrus on this one. So I'm expecting this one to be a little bit more acidy, a little bit more acidic.
Okay.
But I am getting that sweetness again. You're right. Not as much flour or soapy.
Yeah, it's more fruity.
I'm getting a little pineapple.
Okay, it's a little more. Yeah, now that actually that we've had a second to swirl it around and let it open up a tiny bit. Yeah, it's the tropical fruits coming through a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little peach, but I'm not sure. I'm more with you on like apple cider, like apple and cinnamon, like baking spices.
Right, right. It does have a little bit of warmth to it.
Yeah, it's nice. It smells nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's taste it and see what we think.
And taste what we think. Tangy.
Very tangy.
Citrusy.
Very citrusy. Mm-hmm. This is more crisp, acidic, happily lemony. It's got some lemon on it, or lime.
It does have some lemon.
It's almost lime juicy. Lime juice. It's very citrusy.
I'm not getting the baking spices at all in the taste. Mm-mm. It smelled warmer. This is definitely more crisp summer citrus.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, it's like totally cleaning off the tongue. Mm-hmm. It's very dry and acidic.
Really different than the first one.
Very different. They're really different wines.
This is definitely more like a pow tang.
You know, this is pow tang, pow tang. I don't go any further. With a laryngitis, it could sound like something else. But back to the wine, to me, it's almost like, you know, we've talked about this before. When I was young, my mom would cut up apples and she'd put lemon on them to like keep it from browning. Uh-huh. And that's what it tastes like. It tastes like apples with lemon on it.
It does. Mm-hmm. It really is kind of a crisp Granny Smith.
Yeah. And I think whereas the last one had a little bit more, I didn't like it as much, but it had more going on. This one's pretty, like, it's not, there's not a ton going on. This to me is like a summer sipper. This is a summer sipper.
Right, right. Warm weather, going to keep you refreshed.
Al fresco.
You almost don't even have to eat like a meal with this.
Well,
either.
No, you don't, but it's going to go well with food. So what kind of food would you put with it?
You know, this is a good, I know you say this all the time, but it did come to my mind. This is a good spicy food wine.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you could do any type of Asian food with it, that, you know, a little spice on it.
Yeah, I think so.
What else?
Fish, it would go well with fish. Yeah. I think it would do really well with like...
Fish tacos
would be great
kind
with
a spicy,
fried fish taco.
Yeah, but like a Cajun spicy fish taco.
Yeah, and I think like a Caesar salad. I think a
Caesar salad.
Mm-hmm. I think
like with crunchy croutons.
With crunchy croutons, ooh. But you need a little sardine in that Caesar salad.
Sardine.
And don't they put sardines in Caesar salad?
No, they put anchovies.
But whatever it is, the same GD thing.
It's like just sardines.
Whatever. It's just a salty little fish. I mean,
true.
Whatever.
What
okay, anchovy. About 4 inches. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, I screwed up. Okay.
It was like sardine.
But I was also thinking, I'm trying to change the subject. I was also thinking of like a al yo olio.
Oh,
you know,
a
like
garlicky.
Garlicky
heavy.
And spicy.
Well, you could do like a pesto with this too.
You could definitely do a pesto. A white pizza would go really well. Something garlicky, I think, would be really good with this.
Or a sharp cheese.
Sharp. Like, wow, I cut myself on your cheese. Don't cut the cheese.
God, oh,
what is going on?
Totally
I've lost
different.
My mind. I had a very stressful day at work, and now I'm just going crazy.
Letting it loose.
And letting it out.
Woo!
Okay. Any other foods? That's a lot of foods.
Yeah.
But I think this is more of a food wine than the last one, to me.
Interesting, because I kind of thought this, I could see being by a pool.
You did say that. I think it's a summer sipper, too. Like, I do think you could just sit by the pool and drink it.
Woo!
But I think it's going to be great with food.
Yeah.
So what rating would you give this wine?
So, you know, I'm going to give this one a 7 as well.
Okay. I'm definitely giving this one a 7.
Okay.
Like, I like this wine. I would buy this wine. And the more I think about it, I like it much more than the last one. I'm very tempted. I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm very tempted to bring it down to a 5. Yeah, I just am not like that first one.
It's not a favorite at all.
It just didn't do it for me.
Okay.
Too much butter on it or whatever.
Yeah, it was definitely softer, rounder.
That being said, if you like a buttery kind of Chardonnay, you might like the Rufino or Vietto quite a bit.
Right.
Because it has some of those qualities to it.
Characteristics,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's take a break and we're going to try our last wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we're ready to try our last wine. And I'm just going to say something really fishy happened.
Ooh.
Something really strange happened. So this last one is called the Roio Orvieto Classico, R-O-I-O, right? So I'm opening it up. It's cork. It has a cork in it. And as I pull the cork out, I go, wait a minute. This is weird because it says Cantine Bellini on it, which is the same thing as the last wine. The last wine is made by Cantine Bellini. So either somebody screwed up or this is like some sort of sub-brand.
Knockoff.
Or a sub-brand of Bellini.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Be,
or like an off-label or something, but it's so
Cantine
odd.
Cantine
Bellini.
Bellini Rufina.
Yeah.
Weird. Really, really weird.
Really weird. So I don't
You're
know.
You're going to have to take a picture of that.
I did.
I know,
it's
but like.
Really strange. Like, I don't get it.
You have to post that.
I've never seen anything like that before where you pull out a cork and it says another winery's name on it. Like, no. That's really weird.
Very.
Okay. So this is, I'm going to go through it. This is from Umbria, Italy. It's the 2021. It was $16.99.
Wow.
So it's also the most expensive one. Got it at Total Wine, 12.5% alcohol, and it doesn't tell you what the blend is, but it's Trebbiano, Malvasia, Verdello, and Grichetto, and Carmela. What are you smelling?
So this is very different, and the first thing I'm getting is gasoline.
Okay, I'm getting a little bit of that gasoline or gluey kind of smell.
Yeah, like for sure. Maybe it'll change.
I think you get it more when you swirl it in the glass.
Yeah, do
I think
try
when you
that.
Let it sit, it, yeah, I think when you let it sit, it goes away. I'm getting a little bit more like peach.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'm not getting that at all.
Well, what fruit are you getting? Any lemon or anything?
I'm getting a little cotton candy, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're having, I think the laryngitis has gone to
you
your
know,
nose.
Actually, you never know if my senses are a little off tonight.
I was trying to smell the wine and I spilled it on my lip.
Wow.
I'm not even drunk yet.
You're trying to get that nose right down in there.
I'm about to drown myself. I'm definitely getting like a peach smell and a little tropical fruit.
Wow. Not getting that.
Really?
I don't know
why.
That's
so strange.
I definitely was getting it in the other ones.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. A little lemon too I'm getting. Okay. All right. Well, let's try it because we're clearly weirding out on the smell.
Okay. It doesn't smell like, it doesn't taste like gasoline for sure.
Kind of tastes very similar to the last one.
Yeah.
It's really lemony.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like it's less flavorful, like less of the lemon.
Yeah. I would agree with that. It doesn't quite have that.
A little flatter.
It doesn't have kind of the apple.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. It's just a little bit lemon. You know, like lemonade is so good. But if you just eat a lemon, unless it's been soaking in like vermouth, it's not great.
Okay. Taste it again. It's super lemony. It's like lemon juice. It's very lemony.
I'm not getting like a lot of sweet on it at all. Like sometimes you want like a touch of it, but it's very tangy.
I'm getting a little bit on the end, on the back end, maybe a little bit of that kind of glue or what were you saying, gasoline kind of. It's dry and bitter, but it's got a little bit of that on the end. You know what I'm not getting on any of these really too much is that chalky or limestone.
The first one, I was smelling it initially, but tasting it, I wasn't getting it in the taste.
Yeah. I'm not either. This is very lemony and very bitter.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind it so much. But
like pithy, a little bit of
pithy. Yeah. Bitter, the bitter lemon kind of taste like lemon. That's what I'm saying. Not lemonade, but like the juice of a lemon, of a lemon.
I agree. Okay. The juice.
What food would you pair with this Orvieto Classico?
I think you need food with this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice summer wine, but you're going to want to enjoy. I mean, you know, this would be nice with a charcuterie board.
Yeah. Really nice.
Yeah. With different, you know, types of soft cheeses, hard cheeses, you know, crackers.
Salty
yeah,
foods.
I was going to say like potato chips or like like a nice.
Salty cheese, olives.
Right. And like a pancetta cracker with sea salt on it.
And some salty like salumi.
Yes. And the olives is a good call.
Yeah.
You could even do like some sort of pasta dish, like not like a puntanesca, but like something with olives, something.
Oh.
Artichokes, something like that that has a little bit of
like
salt.
What about a cacio e pepe?
Nice. I think that would be
could
nice.
Could you do that?
Yeah. Could you?
I could.
Could you?
I think like a salty white pizza or something might go with this. Ooh. Like something really salty.
Pesto,
I think it needs salt.
I think pesto would be nice. Like the,
I think so.
But no, I think like Parmesan, Romano, a sharp cheese.
So you're saying like a really sharp cheese.
I'm thinking it would be nice because that lemon, you want to cut that a
little. You know what I do sometimes? You know, you get the Romano and you grate it up.
Uh-huh.
Every once in a while, I'll just take a spoonful of that and just eat it.
It's so good.
And it would go well with this.
You know what I did last night?
What'd you do?
With
your laryngitis?
I know. I put some on tortilla chips.
Just by itself? Did you melt it?
Yeah, no, I melted it. Melted
it. Oh, interesting.
For some reason, just.
Did it melt?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really, but it
did
was
Did you do it in the microwave?
I did.
Microwave? I'm sorry. I know all you guys are like, your family is all like, you got to put it in the oven. Nachos in the microwave are way better. It melts the cheese really nice. Forget it. We're not having an argument about it because I'm right. Okay. What rating?
And I have laryngitis, so I can't talk
so
over
you. Can't
you.
Fight. So you can't fight.
Fine.
What rating?
You win tonight.
Thank you. What rating would you give this wine?
Again, I'm kind of, you know, it's hard. I think I'm going to give it a 7. Okay. All of them I would buy.
Really?
And it's nothing. I don't know if this is going to replace like a favorite. I would buy it. I'd drink it. Especially with a large group. I think this would be a crowd pleaser. It would kind of satisfy everybody's palates.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying 7. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going back to the first one. I'm rating it a 5. I'm giving it a 5 because I just didn't like it that much. And I like this one. I'm really on the cusp of a 6 or a 7. I'm going to give it a 6. There's places I drink it and there's places where I would serve it. I'm not sure I would buy it. I wouldn't buy it over the Bellini. I would take the Bellini first.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to change mine then too. I'm giving this a 6.
But you're going to stay with the 7 on the first one?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I like those two better.
You do. Because I did not like the first one all that much. I didn't hate it, but I just didn't like it all that much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That was good.
So which of these are you going to finish tonight?
I'd be happy with the first or the second. I think tonight, you know what? I'm kind of leaning towards that first one.
Oh, wow. That's
maybe
good.
Maybe it's the laryngitis.
So you like the Ruffino, and I'm definitely leaning towards the Bellini.
And the Rojillo, was it? Rojillo.
Yeah, that it has the
Could
Bellini
Could be a Bellini
cork.
Cousin.
We don't know.
Cousin.
Cousin, just like the bear. If you guys haven't watched the bear, that's the
Ooh,
best.
Ooh, that's our recommendation.
It's the best show ever made.
We love
made.
It.
Okay. Let's talk about the taste profiles from an Orvieto.
Okay.
So a website called try.vi says tart, fresh white wines with delicate grapefruit, peach, and honeydew melon notes.
Ah.
And a gentle bitter note. Okay, we got some of that.
Okay.
Wine Folly says aroma of lemon heads, crisp opal apple. I don't know what an opal apple, but I'll take an apple. Strawberries and juicy acidity. I didn't get strawberries, although we did have flowers on the first
Which could,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ruffino, the winery says, the Orvieto bouquet is distinctive, fruity and flowery. Yes, fresh-picked meadow flowers, citrus fruits, golden apple, finishing with a mineral touch. And the taste profile, unique mineral character that comes from the chalky limestone soil called tufa. The finish is long and fragrant with hints of almond. That's interesting.
Okay.
That's interesting. Okay, Bellini. The winery says a light bouquet of citrus and a hint of sparkle make this wine the quintessential aperitif. And then also, I'm sorry, that was from the Wine Authority. The winery says, brilliant straw yellow color, fragrance is characterized by fresh floral notes of jasmine and hawthorn, citrus fruit, notes of lime and mandarin, fresh dry wine, and mineral salts. So that's interesting.
Okay.
And Rojillo, on some website called Room Box, which I've never heard of. This wine is appreciated for its fine perfume and elegance, its pear, apple, and cream, characterized with a dry finish. I just got lemon on it.
I didn't get a lot of cream.
It wasn't creamy.
No.
So, I mean, of all of them, the first one was the creamiest.
Yeah.
So I think we did okay. The Rojillo is just a weird one for me. The weird cork's thrown me off. I couldn't find out a lot about it. I don't know. Maybe it's
a mystery.
It's a spooky wine. Spooky wine. But what do you think about Orvieto? I think, you know, is it become maybe another go-to Italian wine?
Well, I don't know if it's going to substitute like a Pinot Grigio for me.
Or a Suave.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's not, it's pleasant.
It's
and
okay.
I wouldn't tell anybody, oh no, don't have it. I mean, I might say, oh, try this one instead.
Yeah.
But it's not offensive. It's a good crowd pleaser wine too.
And when we go to Orvieto, we're going to drink it.
We're
going to drink a lot of it.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that was fun. It was fun. It's good
so
to do it.
And
again, like, it's good. Like, you have to do these things, like, taste these different wines from different regions and different areas and whatever, just so you kind of get to know what you like.
Right.
How else
Absolutely.
Do you know?
Absolutely. And also, it's just also part of the experience, right?
Totally.
Your wine journey. If you can, like, explore some different places, that's just like, you know, edumacation, like you said.
Edumacation. 100%.
Mm.
Teachers are learning for life. Lifelong learners. All right, Carmela, it's time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to you. And last chance, you can subscribe to our podcast right now.
Right
like
now.
Before you stop listening, subscribe right now. And also, this would be an awesome time to leave a rating and review. How about that?
Yeah.
It's free. It's easy. And it's a great way to support us. We don't ask for a lot, but that kind of support would be awesome.
Sometimes you ask for a lot.
From you, maybe.
Right.
And, you know, for putting up with Carmela's gravelly laryngitis voice, you deserve to give us a rating. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
We would love to hear from you. Like Donna reached out to us and tell us about maybe some wines you want us to taste and review. You can leave a message for us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter there. Yes, Carmela, I will send you the newsletter.
Wow.
You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. And remember, you can follow us at Instagram or on Threads and see pictures of these wines and reach out to us and DM us and just talk to us. us. We want to hear from you.
We like your company.
All right, with that, we're going to sign off. So thank you again, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
And the happy ending at the end of our story. I always think too much.